All right, Rabbi, let's begin. So today's daf is Chav Ches. We left off Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We left off Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara explains. The Gemara says the following. So Meisvei, four lines up from the bottom. Meisvei, Parsha Shal Shisha Psukim Korin Osa Bishnayim V'Shel Chamisha Harishon Kore Gimel V'Hasheni Kore Shnayim Parsha Zu. So Rabbi, remember again, we were discussing yesterday the idea that we go ahead and we split up, how we split up the different parashios of the Ma'amados. So here the Gemara raises a kasha. So remember again, we saw that we had a section that was made up of five psukim, and the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, how to go ahead and split that up, being that we accept the fact that an aliyah can't be less than three psukim. So how do we split up a five pasuk paragraph? So in Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, Rav said dolek, Rav said you just simply read the third pasuk twice. Shmuel said posek. Shmuel says you split the third pasuk in half. So the Gemara now raises a kasha. Meisvei, parasha shal shisha psukim. If you have a section that is made up of six psukim, no problem. Kora osa b'shnayim, you could split that up among two olim, among two aliyos. However, v'shal chamisha, if you have a paragraph of five psukim, harishon kori gimel. So the first person who gets an aliyah reads three psukim. Hasheni kori shnayim, the second one reads two psukim. Mi parasha zu, from this parasha. Ve'echa mi parasha acheres, and a third pasuk from another section. The Yishomim, others explain, Gimel, no, you read three psukim, why? Lefi shein maschilin beparsha pachos mishlosha psukim. Because you cannot begin reading a new section in the Torah, less than three psukim. But Rabbi say, either way, the kasha is the same. Leman da'amar doleg lidlok. So according to the man da'amar, i.e. Rav, who holds that you could repeat a pasuk? So why do you have to go into a new parasha? Just simply go ahead and repeat the third pasuk of that paragraph. Ulamandam raposek, and the one who says like Shmuel that you could split the pasuk in half. Lifsok, why don't you just split that third pasuk in half? Let half of it go for the first ola, half of it go for the second ola. To which the Gemara says, "Shiny hasam the islay ravacham." Because we're saying in the case of the brisa, there's room. Islay ravacham literally means that there's room. What that means is obviously when you don't have to employ the concepts of doleg or poseg, if you don't have to repeat the pasuk, you don't have to split the pasuk. Even Rav and Shmuel will agree that that is the preferred method, not to have to do that. But lemaisa, if you have no choice, that's the machlokis Rav and Shmuel comes up about how to go ahead and round out the aliyos. Parsha gedola korin osa b'shnayim b'shachris, uve musaf uve mincha korin apiem. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah said that if you have a large section, you can go ahead and read it among two aliyos, shachris and musaf, and mincha you read it al peh. So ibayluhu hechi ka'amar. What exactly is the Mishnah saying? B'shachris uba musaf korinosa b'sefer uba mincha korinosa apeh ke korinashma. Is the Mishnah saying, the boss, again, remember, this is the ma'amados. So how do we deal with that ma'amados? Are we saying that on shachris and musaf, we read, on shachris and musaf, we read the section from the Sefer Torah, and by mincha, we read it baal peh. We read it by meaning by heart, not from the text. Kikorin Shema is the way we read Shema. Old Dilma, or perhaps the other possibility is Hachi Katoni. This is what it means to say B'Shachris Korinosa B'Sefer. In Shachris, we read it from a Torah. Ube Musaf Ube Mincha Korin Osa Ape. And by Musaf and Mincha, we read it again, but this time we read it by Peh. We ultimately read it by heart. Korin Shema. So which one is it, Rabbi? So meaning, how often are we reading from the Torah, and how? Remember, same reading, but how often are we reading from the Torah versus how often are we reading from the actual Sefer? Tashma. So we learned. Tisanya, Shachris, B'Shachris Ube Musaf, Nichnosan LeBeis HaKnesses, V'Korin Kiderach SheKorin Kol HaShana. So remember the Braise says that in Shachris and Musaf, we go into Shul, we go ahead and we read the Parsha from Bereishis, Kiderach SheKorin Osa Kol HaShana, meaning in the same way that you read it throughout the year, meaning the same way that throughout the year we read it from the Sefer, so to over here read it from the Sefer. Ube Mincha, Yochid Kore Osa Apeh, but by Mincha time, an individual reads it by heart. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yossi, V'chi Yochid Yochol Likros Divrei Torah Apeh B'tzibur. But Rabbi Yossi says, does that make sense that a Yochid, the individual, is going to read it on behalf of the entire Tzibur by Mincha, and is going to read it by Apeh? Elo, rather we have to say like this, Kulan nechnasin v'korin osa ape k'korin eshma. Rather, Rabosai, what ends up happening is the following. By Shachris and by Musaf, so they read the section, the particular section corresponding to the particular day of the Ma'amad from Bereshis, and they read it from a Sefer Torah. In Mincha time, when they gather again, everyone reads the same section, but in this case, they're not reading it again from the Torah, but rather, again, they're reading it al-peh. But it's not one individual reciting it on behalf of everyone else, but rather, it's everyone saying it together in the same way that everyone recites Kriyat Shema. Meaning, the parasha has nothing to do with Kriyat Shema. The Gemara is just illustrating the same way that people say Kriyat Shema and every individual says it for themselves, so too everyone would say this section of the Ma'amad for themselves as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kol yom sheyish bo halal ein bo ma'amad. Any day in which there is halal, there is no ma'amad. So the Gemara asks, ma hefresh bein zeh lozeh. What is the difference between this one and that one? Look at Rashi. Ma hefresh bein zeh lozeh. Ma shna de karban eitzim dochi ma'amad dine'ila. U ma'amad de mincha lo dochi. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. The Mishnah said that when there's a karban eitzim, remember again, Karban Eitzim refers to the fact that we saw there were these nine families that went ahead and pledged wood to the Beis HaMikdash. So the day that they brought their wood ultimately was a Yom Tov for them. So when they brought a Karban Eitzim, remember again, Dachi Ma'amad de Ne'ila. That would go ahead and set aside the Ma'amad service of Ne'ila. They would do no Ma'amad service of Ne'ila. U Ma'amad de Mincha Lo Dachi. So the Gemara is asking a very specific question. Why is it that on a day when there was a carbon eitzim, when there was a carbon, because again, somebody brought their pledge of wood to the Beis HaMikdash, why is it that the carbon eitzim would set aside the ma'amad of ne'ilah, but would not set aside the ma'amad of mincha? Remember again, when we say ma'amad, what we are referring to is the particular ma'amad service. So why again on a day of carbon eitzim was the ma'amad service of mincha set aside, the ma'amad service of ne'ilah set aside, but the ma'amad service of mincha was not. Ma hefesh bein zeh lezeh, what's the difference? Halal, to which the Gemara answers very simply, halalu divrei Torah, v'halalu divrei sofrim. The simple answer is, because mincha is the araisa, and Ne'ila is the Rabban. I will say, what does that mean? And Mincha is the Oraisa, and Ne'ila is the Rabban. Look at Rashi, it's very interesting. Halalu Divrei Torah, Rashi says, Mincha is Midoraisa, Kidarmina Bebrachas, Yitzchak Avinu Tikein Tfilas Mincha, as the Gemara Maseches Bracha says, that Yitzchak Avinu instituted the prayer of Mincha, Shene'emar, Vayavo Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, Lif. Nos Aref, the Pasuk says that Yitzchak Avinu went out. Lasuach literally means to converse in the field. Prior to the meeting, remember the Gemara Maseches Brachos explains that in Sicha, Ela Lashon Tfila. That Sicha, that Lashon of conversing, means prayer. Udine'ila midivrei Sofrim. And Ne'ila is Dirabanan. So I will say, interestingly enough, now again, obviously what the Gemara is not suggesting, that actual Tfilas Mincha that we daven is Midoraisa, because that's not true. Tfila itself is Dirabanan. But conceptually, what the Gemara is saying is that the prayer of Mincha has biblical origins, whereas the Tfila of Ne'ila does not. Therefore, Lemaisa, when it comes to setting aside the Ma'amad service, we will be quicker to dispense with the Ma'amad service of a rabbinic prayer than we will to go ahead and dispense with the Ma'amad service of a biblical prayer. Okay? I'm sorry. The Karban Mincha, correct. But remember, this is not Karbanos now. This is not Karbanos. Right? This is instead of Karbanos. Correct. But again, interestingly enough, if you notice, Rashi doesn't say that. Right? Rashi doesn't bring up the Mincha, Karban Mincha. Rashi brings up Yitzchak Avinu. As if to say again, the Tefillah itself has biblical origins, which is interesting. Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am. Tan Rabbanan. Lama Hutzrichu. Excuse me. Lama Hutzrichu Lomar. Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am. Why did the Mishnah have to say the time of the Atzei Kohanim Ba'am, the time of the wood of the Kohanim and the people? What does that mean? So Amru, the Gemara says, Kisha'alu b'nei ha'gola l'matzu eitzim b'lishka. Remember, we already began this discussion yesterday. When the Jews returned with Ezra. Remember, this is now 70 years after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra says, let's go back to Eretz Yisrael, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, rebuild the land. So remember again, most of the people did not come back. Therefore, when they came back and they built the Beis HaMikdash, they found Lo Matzah Eitzim B'Lishka. There was no wood. There was no, remember again, we saw, remember from our Yuma days, there was a chamber called Lishkas Ha'itzim. There was a chamber called the wood chamber where they would keep the wood for the Mizbeach, for the Ma'arach, for the pyre. So they came back, there wasn't the wood. Va'amdu Elu, and these families that we mentioned, Va'amdu Elu v'hisnadvu mishalahem. And these families got up and they pledged wood from their own resources. V'kachisnu nevim, and so too the prophets instituted, Shebeneim, Shafilu lishka malaya etzim, even if the wood chamber is filled with wood. Yihiyu Elu misnadvu mishalahem. These families should have the opportunity to pledge of their own wood. Rabbosai, it's very important, Yisod, just in general, in it's a privilege to give. You know, people sometimes feel put upon that they're asked to give, and they feel like somebody's schnurring or somebody's this. A person has to have a Jew's mindset for giving is it's a privilege to give. It's a privilege. A person has the means to give. Again, a person doesn't have the means, they don't have the means, but a person has the means to give. It's not being put upon. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give you money so that you should have it for yourself. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give you wealth, however you measure wealth, so that you should just be able to take care of yourself and your own. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you things so that you could affect change. You could do incredible things. So it's amazing over here. The Gemara says, so these families went ahead, these families pledged to go ahead and give the wood. And what happened? And therefore, think about this for just a moment. So there was no wood. The families went ahead and pledged the wood. So the Nevi'im instituted that even if the Lishka is filled with wood, these families should still go ahead and give wood. So it sounds strange because, again, so what's the reward, right? So the reward is that now I have to give every year. And the answer is yes, yes. Because ein reward gidola mizo. If you have the opportunity to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash each and every year in a substantive way, yes, that is a zechus. So it's amazing. They were given the privilege of giving. They were given the privilege of giving. Shena emar, because the pasuk says, it quotes over here, the pasuk from Nehemiah, v'hagorolos hipalnu al karbana etzim, we drew the lots for the karbana etzim, hakohanim halevim v'ha'am, lahavi lebeis elokeinu, lebeis avosinu, le'itim mizumanim. We drew lots to go ahead and bring the wood to the house of our God, to the house of our forefathers at particular times, shana b'shana, each and every year, levair amizbeach Hashem elokeinu kakasuba Torah, to go ahead and literally burn it on the altar of Hashem, as it says in our Torah. Suppose I said that's the incredible evolution of this carbon ha'itzim. V'imahem kohanim levim v'cholmi. Suppose remember again, and together with the people who brought the carbon ha'itzim were kohanim levim, and remember again, the Mishnah also quoted two other groups of people. The Gon Ve'ali, the pestle thieves, Ubnei Kotzei Ketzios, and the sons of those who cut or harvested the figs. So the Gemara says, Ten Rabbanon, Ma Hayu Bnei Gon Ve'ali, or Eli, Ubnei Kotzei Ketzios. Who are these people who were the pestle thieves? Remember, when I say pestle, I'm saying the English word pestle, not the Hebrew word pestle, a mortar and pestle, right? So who are these Gon Ve'eli and these people who harvested the figs? Well, say, listen to this is amazing. Amru pam achos gazra hamalchus gzera Yisrael, shelo yaviu etzim l'ma'aracham. I will say one time, the monarchy. Now, generally, when we say gazra malchus, generally it refers to either Greece or Rome. Generally, it's Greece or Rome. So one time, again, there was a gzera. There was a gzeira from the government that we were not permitted to go ahead and bring wood for the Mizbeach, and we were not permitted to go ahead and bring Bikurim, first fruits to Yerushalayim. Vahushivu pruzdo'os al hadrachim, kederach shahoshiv yiravam ben nevachlo ya'alu Yisrael l'raya. And what happened? And the government stationed pruzdo'os, Rashi says, shomrim, guards, sentries on the roads, to prevent us from bringing wood to the Mizbeach and Bikurim to Yerushalayim. And I will say, the Gemara here brings an incredible Musar. In the same way that Yeravam ben Nevat, now remember again, who is Yeravam ben Nevat? Yeravam was the first king of the split kingdom of Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat, remember again, Shlomo's son, Rechavam, sees the kingdom split during his time. Rechavam is the king over Yehuda, to the Yehuda ben Yamin, and Yeravam ben Nevat is the king over the rest of the tribes of Klal Yisrael. Remember again, Yeravam ben Nevat was a serious Rasha, I mean, he wasn't like a recreational Rasha. He was a serious Rasha. He understood that the only way to keep the kingdom of Yisrael separate from the kingdom of Yehuda was to stop people from being Ola Regel. If people would go to Yerushalayim, that would make Yerushalayim the eternal capital of Klal Yisrael, which would ultimately, over time, unite the tribes. So what did he do? He placed sentries on the roads that would prevent Jews from being Ola Regel. So the Gemara brings an incredible Musar that the Romans or the Greeks went ahead and placed Prusdoos on the roads in the same way that Yeravam ben Nevat did. Meaning, lest you think that the Goyim, that the Gentile nations were the first to go ahead and come up with this idea, unfortunately, we did it to ourselves before anyone else did this to us. So what happened? This was to prevent, again, the Jews from bringing the Bikurim and from bringing the wood for the Mizbeach. So what happened? So he says, Ma'asu, listen to this, Ma'asu k'shem shabosu dar yirechit. What did the pious people, the ones who feared sin of that generation, do? They were not content with simply not bringing Bikurim and not bringing wood for the Ma'aracha. Listen to this. Heviu sali Bikurim. They went ahead and they brought baskets filled with first fruits. V'chipum b'ketzios. But what did they do? On the top of the basket, they covered the basket with dried figs. The notlum v'notlum, and they carried it. The eli al kaspeim, and they carried a pestle. A pestle on their shoulder. So they would come to the guards on the road, and the guards would say, "Nu, where are you going?" So they would say, we're just going to go ahead and make cakes of pressed figs with the mortar that is a little bit ahead of us. So we'll say, now again, obviously, what they did is they cloaked the Bikurim with just simple figs. So when the guard stopped them, he just simply said, "Where are you going? Where are you going?" They said, "Oh, we're going to make cakes of pressed figs. Not a big deal." So what happens? We're just going to go to make cakes of pressed figs with the mortar that is ahead and with the pestle that is resting on our shoulder. So once they got past the sentries, they removed the top layer of figs. Itrum besolim, they decorated the baskets that were housing the Bikurim, the Heviyum, the Yerushalayim. So I will say Bikurim smuggling, right? They literally smuggled the Bikurim. They smuggled the Bikurim past the mule, past the sentries, and they were able to go and bring it to Yerushalayim. What's another story? Tana, hein b'nei Salmai hanotafti. This was a similar story to what happened with the sons of Salmai hanotafti. Tana, born on Mahin b'nei Salmai hanotafti. What happened with the sons of Salmai hanotafti? Listen to this. Amru, they said, Pam achas gazra hamalchus gzera al Yisrael, shelo yavi eitzel ma'aracham. I will say one time there was a decree that the Jews may not bring wood to the pyre on the Mizbeach. They may not bring wood for the Mizbeach. Voshivu pruzdaos al hadrachim. The government stationed sentries on the roads. Kidera shahoshiv Yeravam ben Nevat al hadrachim. In the same way that Yeravam ben Nevat posted also sentries on the road. Shelo yalu Yisrael l'regel. What did those who feared sin of that generation do? Meaning, the spirit of the Jew is unconquerable. Just because someone tells me I can't do something does not by definition absolve me of my responsibility to try. So what did they do? Listen to this, amazing. Listen to this. So they took the wood that they wanted to use for the Mizbeach, but what did they do? They fashioned the wood into ladders. They put the ladders on their shoulders. They went. When they came to the guards, to the sentries, so the guards asked them, "Tell us, where are you going?" Oh, we're just going to take doves from the dove coat that is a little bit ahead. You need a ladder because a dove coat is tall. You're going to use this ladder. So listen to this ingenuity. Once they got past the sentries, what did they do? Park Pirkum, Ve'evium, Ve'helum, Yerushalayim. I will say, what did they do? After they got past the sentries, they simply disassembled the ladders, and voila, what do you have? You have, again, wood for the Mizbeach. So, Va'aleim, Va'al Yotzi, Bahem, Hu Omer, and about these individuals and those like them. Bosai, those like them mean individuals who are moser nefesh, who push themselves, who sacrifice, who literally push themselves to perform the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who omer zecher tzadik livracha. We say the memory of a tzadik is for a blessing. Ve'al Yeravam ben Nevat v'chaverav, and for Yeravam ben Nevat and his friends, so to speak, what do we say? V'shem rishoim yirkav. The names of the wicked should rot. Weiter. Be'eshim bo b'nei pachas Moab ben Yud. Supposed to remember again, the Mishnah said, excuse me, the Mishnah spoke about the names of the various families who brought the carbon etzim, who brought the wood offerings. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Tana b'nei pachas b'nei pachas Moab ben Yehuda. Who is this family of Moab ben Yehuda? Hein b'nei David ben Yehuda. Interesting enough, Rabosai, the Gemara explains that in fact Pachas Moav ben Yehuda is actually the same thing as same family as David ben Yehuda, which is actually interesting because we know again David HaMelech is a descendant of Moav, a descendant of Rus HaMoaviyah. Therefore, again, the Gemara says that in fact Pachas ben Moav is the same family as Bnei David ben Yehuda, which means that in fact what? That the family of Bnei David ben Yehuda actually brought wood twice to the Beis HaMikdash. Div Rabbi Meir, these words are Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Hein b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. No. The family of Pachas Moav ben Yehuda is actually the same thing as the sons of Yoav ben Tzruya. Okay. Be'esim be'elul b'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Remember again, on the 20th of Elul, the sons of Adin ben Yehuda. Turn around, on. B'nei Adin ben Yehuda, hein b'nei David ben Yehuda. So we'll say the Braisa says, the Gemara says, that's what? The family of the sons of Adin ben Yehuda are the same things. This is the same family as B'nei David ben Yehuda. These words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, hein b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. Rabbi Yossi says, no, in fact, that family is the same family as the sons of Yoav ben Tzruya. So we'll say, just machlokes about who is who. Be'echad b'teves shebo b'nei parush shnia. Remember again, the Mishnah said, on the first of Teves, the sons of Parush would go ahead and bring wood a second time. So the Gemara says, Mani mas nisin. Whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Lo Rabbi Meir, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yossi. It's not Rabbi Meir, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yossi. Why Rabbosai? E Rabbi Meir, listenu, shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda. Because we'll say, if it's Rabbi Meir, then it turns out that it was the family of David ben Yehuda who actually brought a second time. E Rabbi Yehuda, so too if it's Rabbi Yehuda, listeni shavu b'nei David ben Yehuda shnia. So too Rabbi Yehuda would also agree, it should state that it was this family of David ben Yehuda who brought the wood a second time. E Rabbi Yossi, and if it's Rabbi Yossi, listenu shavu b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya shnia. And if it's Rabbi Yossi, it should be the family of b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya. But also meaning what the Gemara is suggesting over here, remember, we just saw all of these different interpretations that actually two of the families are the same on the rotation. In which case, again, when the Mishnah says that it was the sons of Parush, or as the family of Parush, B'nai, sons of Parush who brought it a second time, that does not agree with any of the opinions that we just said before. Because according to the other opinions, it should either be the family of B'nai David ben Yehuda or B'nai Yoav ben Tzruya who brought it a second time, not the family of Parush. To which the Gemara answers, the Olam Rabbi Yossi, in reality it is Rabbi Yossi, Utrei Tanoi Alibid Rabbi Yossi, and Zemachokes Tanoim about what Rabbi Yossi said. Did Rabbi Yossi say that Lamaisa it was the sons of Yoav ben Tzruya, or did he say it was the sons of B'nai Parush? That's a Machlokes Tanoim. Okay, so we'll say at the end of the day there is a dispute about which of the families brought the wood twice. Be'echar b'teves lohaya b'ma'amad. Remember, on the first of Teves, I will say there wasn't no ma'amad service. Because remember again, what's the first of Teves? First of Teves is Chanukah as well as Rosh Chodesh. So says the Gemara, Amrali mar kashisha b'ed Rav Chista. The Rav Ashi. So remember, mar kashisha, the son of Rav Chista, said to Rav Ashi, my amud beis, my shna halal didochi didei, u my shna musaf to lo dochi didei. So the Gemara asks a very interesting question. So the Gemara says like this, on this first of Teves, why is it that Hallel sets aside itself? Now what does that mean? Meaning, Dochi Didei means that Lemaisa, that Hallel sets aside the Ma'amad of Shachris, There's no ma'amad in Shacharis whenever there's halal. U'mayishna musaf t'lo dochi didei. But interestingly enough, when there's musaf, so musaf does not set aside the ma'amad of musaf. Look at Rashi. U'mayishna musaf t'lo dochi didei. Diktani. Yom sheyish ba musaf ein ba mincha, velo katani ein ba musaf t'lo dochi didei el de mincha. Well, so interestingly enough, the Mishnah said that on any day where there's musaf, so again, there's no ma'amad by mincha. But the inference is that what? That there is a ma'amad by musaf. So why is it again that when there's halal, halal sets aside the ma'amad service of shachris, but yet when there's musaf, musaf does not set aside the ma'amad service of musaf. It only sets aside the ma'amad service of mincha. So Amrali Ravashi, Ravashi says, Hashta, dilav didei dachi. So Rashi says, I'm not sure. I would think that if Musaf has the ability to set aside the ma'amad of Mincha, then what? It should certainly have the ability to set aside its own ma'amad. Amar Lei, to which he responded, this is what I mean to say to you. Lo litchi ela didei. I would suggest that if truth is when there's Musaf, Musaf should not have set aside the ma'amad of Mincha, but rather again what? It should just at least set aside its own ma'amad. So he said, Rabbi Yossi actually holds like you. This time, what does Rabbi Yossi say? This time, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol yom sheyesh ba musaf, yesh ba ma'amad. Every day where there is musaf, there is ma'amad. There is the ma'amad service. Ma'amad demai. So which ma'amad are we referring to? Ilema ma'amad de shachris. If you want to say it's the ma'amad of shachris, that can't be why. Hat tanakama nami hachi kamar. Because remember, again, the Tanakhama also subscribes to this same idea. Look at Rashi just a moment. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol yom sheyesh bo musaf yesh bo ma'amad. V'Tanakhama polig, Domer yom sheyesh bo musaf, ein bo ne'ila. V'as Rabbi Yossi, the memar, di yesh bo ma'amad, af api sheyesh bo musaf. So Mar says, Ela, ma'amad de musaf, di dey nami lo dachi. So if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said that if there's going to be a ma'amad every day that there is musaf, then the truth is, again, there should be ma'amad even for musaf itself. Ela de mincha. Rather, it must be that when we say that when there is musaf, there's no ma'amad, it must refer to what? It must refer to the ma'amad of mincha. That can't be, says the Gemara. Why? Karban itim dachi. Because we also remember, on the first of Teves, not only is it Rosh Chodesh, and not only is it Chanukah, but it's also what? One of the appointed days for a carbon eitzim. Wherever there is carbon eitzim, by definition, there is no ma'amad by mincha time. So therefore, again, I don't need musaf to set aside the ma'amad of mincha. The carbon eitzim takes care of that. Ela lav dini'ila. Rather, it must be that what? That the musaf sets aside the ma'amad of ni'ila. Shmamina didei dachi. Delav didei lo dachi. So what do you see from here? Excuse me, that there will be ma'amad by mincha. So what do you see from here? You see from here that lemaisa, the ma'amad has, excuse me, the musaf has the ability to set aside its own ma'amad, but a ma'amad that is not connected to it, it does not have the ability to go ahead and set aside. Shmamina, indeed, learn this out. So I must say, all the Gemara is just proving is that Rabbi Yossi seems to agree with the previously stated opinion that perhaps musaf will indeed set aside ma'amad, its own ma'amad, but may not set aside any other ma'amad, the listeni nami be'echa b'nisan. So why don't you go ahead and also state the first of Nisan? Lo haya bo ma'amad mipnei sheyesh bo halal the karban musaf the karban eitzim. We'll say interestingly enough. Why don't you? So again, remember the Mishnah brought up the first of Teves as an example again of where you have this confluence of events where you have again Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Karban Eitzim. So why don't you also use the first of Nisan as an example and say that on the first of Nisan there was no Ma'amad Y. Mipnei Sheyesh Bo Halal. First of all, there's Halal. Second of all, there's Karban Musaf. And third of all, there's Karban Eitzim. Amarava Rava says, Zos Omeres Halila Debreish Yarcha Lav Da'oraisa. And I will say, I'll tell you why. Because the Gemara likes using the Chanukah example. Because the Chanukah example says the Gemara is a stronger halal. Because the halal of Rosh Chodesh is not d'oraisa. Is not of a biblical obligation. And I will say, you'll ask, how is halal of Chanukah a biblical obligation? It's Chanukah. Chanukah is a d'rabban. And we'll see that in just a moment. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Rabbi Shem Ben Yosef. I will say it's very interesting. Because Rabbi Yochanan is sitting in Rabbi Shem Ben Yosef. Shmona Asra Yom B'Shana. There are 18 days throughout the year, Rabbi Yossi, where we say a complete halal. What are those days? The Elohim, Shmona Semeachag, the 8 days of Sukkot, Ushmona Semechanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, the Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, the first day of Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Atzeres, Shavuos. Remember, Shavuos is technically only one day. So Rav say those are the 18 days on which we say a complete Hallel. Ubagola in the diaspora, Esrim ve'echad Yom. It's not 18 days, instead it's what? It's 21 days. Ve'eluhin, these are, how do we make up the 21 days? Tisha Simei Chanukah, was married by us, Sukkis, including Shmini Atzeres, is 9 days. Shmona Simei Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, that's the same. Ushnei Hayomim, Shnei Yomim HaRishonim Shal Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach, Ubeis yamim tovim shalat seres, and the 2 days of Shavuos. So both say lemaisa again. These are the days on which we'll go ahead and recite Hallel Shalem. But interestingly enough, what is not in this list? What's not in this list? Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. So what do you see from here? You see from here that the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is not a mandated Hallel. We have 20 in Gola. We have 21 days in which we say Hallel. In Eretz Yisrael, 18 days, and Rosh Chodesh again is not part of that equation. So the Gemara says the following: Rav, we're going on with this discussion. Rav Ikal LeBavel. Listen to this. Rav went to Bavel. Chazinu deka hare deka karu halela bereish yarcha. Listen to this. So Rav went to Bavel and he saw that they were saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Again, this was a new experience. As you saw, they were saying Hallel Rosh Chodesh. Savar laf sekinhu. He wanted to stop them. Now, Rabbi said, why did he want to stop them? Because he thought it was an erroneous practice. Now, the reason he thought it was an erroneous practice is because he thought that they were going to say Hallel Shalem. He thought they were going to say a complete Hallel. And remember, there are only 18/21 days in which you recite Hallel Shalem. However, Kevan dechaza, dekamedalgi delugi, when he saw, however, that they were skipping around, meaning that they did not say a complete Hallel, they skipped parts of the Hallel, Amr Shmamino, he said, it appears, minag avosehem biadehem, that this must be the practice of their forefathers. Minag avosehem biadehem, and therefore what? And therefore he left it alone. Rabbi say, look at Rashi, minag avosehem biadehem, Aval halal, so we'll say again, what does this mean practically for us? It means that the recitation of halal on Rosh Chodesh is a minag. A minag. Now we'll say again, remember, interestingly enough, we still make a bracha over it, which raises an interesting discussion about making a bracha over a minag. But I'll tell you what's fascinating about this, which is, get beyond the scope of what we could do now. Maybe we'll put it on our list of shiurim, and we have to come back and do it at some point in time. That lemaisa, there are different forms of rabbinic enactments. There are gezeros, there are takhanos, there are din d'rabbanans, and there's what's also called minog. Minog. So again, that's why we can make a bracha even on minog, because it still has the status of somewhat of halacha. Look at Rashi. Minog avoseim biadehem. The minog of their forefathers is on them. Aval halo dechanika kigon ba'achos b'teves vaday dochi. So I will say again, so now interestingly enough, remember, in that list of 18/21 days in which we are saying Hallel, the 8 days of Chanukah are in there. Even though what? Chanukah is Drabanan. Remember, Chanukah is the only Drabanan holiday in that list. So Rashi says over here, Valhal de Chanukah, Kevan de Be'echem Betevis Vadai Dachi, certainly the Hallel of Chanukah, again, Dachi refers to the Amados, the Kevan de Nevi'im Tiknuhu, Shehe Omrim Osa called Perek Uperek, Va'al Kaltsara Shalotavo Aleim Kishinagal. Rabbi, I remember, Hallel was instituted by the Nevi'im. And the institution of Hallel was like this, that whenever Klal Yisrael faces danger, and we are delivered from that danger, then what? Then we recite Hallel. That is the paradigm for Hallel. Again, there's no other Hallel on any other time. So again, now how that fits into Shavuos is a different discussion. But I'll also just tell you, contemporarily, you should understand, this is the big discussion by Yom HaTzmaut, whether or not Hallel should be recited on Yom HaTzmaut or not. Because again, there are those who posit that Lemaisa, Yom HaTzmaut satisfies the criteria. That again, in the formation of the state, Klal Yisrael was in danger. Now the big discussion is, of course, how do you define Klal Yisrael? How do you define Klal Yisrael? I'll tell you, there's an amazing Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Klal Yisrael is an Eretz Yisrael. If you want to be part of the Klal, you have to live in the land. Here, we're Jews. We're Jews. We're not Klal Yisrael here. We're individual Jews who are parts of communities, but the identity of Klal Yisrael is upon the residents of Eretz Yisrael. Just an amazing idea, which tells you that even if the majority of Jews are not living in Eretz Yisrael, still the events that happen in Eretz Yisrael are considered to be Klal Yisrael events, even though, again, they may not directly impact numerically the majority of Jews. Incredible idea. In any event, so the Gemara is saying over here, so that's when you say Hallel, when Klal Klal Yisrael encounters a dangerous situation, there is salvation. That's when Klal Yisrael says Halal. Therefore, again, the notion of saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh, there's no din of Halal on Rosh Chodesh. So why do we say it? It was a practice of our forefathers. Again, maybe if we have, I don't know, we'll have to figure out. We do have a short nap one of these days. So maybe we'll go back and do this, because this Tosfos is very important, because it seeks out the dynamic of seeing a bracha on a minhag. Anyway, let's finish the Tosfos. Excuse me, the Rashi. V'adai dachi d'cheva n'revim teknushi omr osa kol perak o perak v'akol tzar shal tova in kishenig alin yu omr osa al gu'ulasan. So since the Nevi'im instituted this practice, kid'oraisa dami. Therefore, this halal it resembles the d'oraisa. We'll say, again, we have this concept in general with rabbinic law, that rabbinic law will resemble d'oraisa. Called the tikkun rabbanon ke'in d'oraisa tikkun. Whenever the rabbis institute laws, those laws always try to emulate a biblical framework. Therefore, again, halal, so to speak, on these 18/21 days, has almost like the quasi-status of a d'oraisa, as opposed to halal on Rosh Chodesh, which is fully d'rabbanon, might even be less than a d'rabbanon. It might be what we call minog. The Gemara ends off by saying, Tana, Yochid lo yaschil. Furthermore, the Gemara says that an individual, Rashi says, Kilomar, afilu yochid gomer bahenas ahalel, shekol echad ve'echad chayiv ligmor bo'es ahalel. So if a yochid begins to recite halel, a yachid should not begin to recite halal. Vim hischel, however, if he does, gomer, he could go ahead and finish it. Look at Rashi now. Kiloma afilu yachid gomer bahenes halal. Shekol echad ve'echad chayiv ligmar ba'as halal. Mseches echim afurush. Maishna de gomer kol yimei chag hachag o bepesach lo gomer el yom mishna. I'm sorry. So fine. So therefore the Mishnah says, the Gemara says like this, that an individual really should not recite halal. That there is, the halal is a din in the tzibor. Halal is a din in collective prayer. So an individual should not say halal. However, again, if you started, you could finish. I will say, obviously, we don't paskin that way. We hold that on any day where there is a chi of halal, as much as the full actualization of halal is done b'tzibur. Because remember, again, there are certain repetitive parts of halal. Nevertheless, if a person is not with a minyan, a person should still daven halal. Okay. With a bracha. Absolutely. Okay, so we'll say now the Gemara gets into the discussion about Shivasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. And I will say, I just want to point out, all right, well, we'll have to figure it out, because I want to do with you, I brought it with me, but I don't think we can get a chance to go ahead. I don't just like to carry around big books, because I just walk around with this all the time. It's actually, I have children I have to marry off at some point in time. So again, the Yerushalmi has a totally different account. Not totally different, but really has a lot more detail than the Bavli has with these events. So I'm going to try to intersperse Yerushalmi whenever we can. We won't get to it today, but maybe tomorrow. So the Gemara says the following. The first part, they're the same. First event that happened on Shivasar B'Tammuz was what? Nishtabru Haluchos, excuse me. Hate varim iros avsenu b'shavaser b'tamuz. So there are five things that happened to our forefathers on the 17th of Tammuz. The first one was that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos on the 17th of Tammuz. The Gemara says, "Nishtabru haluchos minalan." How do we know that? How do you know if the luchos were broken on the 17th of Tammuz? This sanya, because we learned, b'shisha lechodesh nitnu aseres adibros liyisrael. Most remember, we were given the aseres adibros on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi says, B'shivabo. No, it wasn't the 6th, it was the 7th, which of course is mind-blowing. And I always say, it's mind-blowing that we don't know the date of Matan Torah. Right? We are so particular with dates. We know exactly when everything happened, what occurred when, and yet for the most important event of our national existence, Kabbalah Satorah, there is machlokis about the date, which of course, again, there's incredible Musar in that as well. Lest you think that you could ascribe Kabbalah Satorah to just one day. It's not true. Kabbalah Satorah is an event that we must re-experience each and every day. In any event, there's a machlokis again. So one opinion says we got on the 6th of Sivan, one opinion on the 7th of Sivan. So what happened? Mandarm b'shishanitnu. So the Mandarm says that we received the Torah, they received the Seres Dibros on the 6th of Sivan. So b'shishanitnu b'shiva ala Moshe. So we received the Torah on the 6th, and Moshe Rabbeinu ascended the mountain to receive the rest of the Torah on the 7th. Mandar b'shiva, the mandar who says that we receive the Torah on the 7th, then what? B'shiva nitnu, we receive the Aseret Dibros on the 7th. U'b'shiva ala Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the 7th as well. U'b'shiva ala Moshe. D'chsiv, vayikra el Moshe v'yom ha'shvi. U'ksiv, vayova Moshe b'socha anon, vayal alahar, vayhi Moshe b'har arbo'im v'arbo'im layla. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. As much as there is machlokis about when we received the Aseret Dibros, the 6th or the 7th, everyone agrees on one point, which is Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai on the 7th. Now, there's not much to argue about because, again, the pasuk itself says explicitly, Vayikra el Moshe Bayom Hashvi'i. So Moshe Rabbeinu ascends Har Sinai. Remember, again, I will say, when we receive the Torah, so to speak, from God, we only receive the Aseret Dibros, and only the first two from God, the other eight from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe then goes up to receive the rest of the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on day 7, so that's fact number one we know. And number two, Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now let's do the math. So now Bosei goes up on the 7th. We have Esrim V'Arba'a D'Sivan. We have again the remaining 26 days. 24 days, I'm sorry, of Sivan. So that's 24 of Sivan. V'Shissar D'Tamuz. And 16 of the month of Tammuz. Malaluhu Arboin. Rabbi said that gives us a total of 40 days. So remember again, 24 days of Sivan, 16 days of Tammuz, that's 40. And therefore, Rabbi said he's up on the mountain for 40 days. He comes back then the next day. B'shiv sarba Tammuz Nochis. He comes back down on the 17th of Tammuz. B'shiva v'tammuz, excuse me, Nochis. Asa, he comes to the camp, v'tavrinhu leluchos, and he broke the luchos on that day. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, v'hi kasher karav ala machane, v'yar es ha'egel, v'yashlech miyadav es haluchos, v'yishaber osam tachas ha'ar. And both said, tragically, the Torah says that it was when Moshe Rabbeinu came close to the mountain, he saw the egel, he saw the golden calf, he threw down the luchos from his hands, he broke them underneath the mountain. All right, Debose Note, we're going to stop over here for today. Actually, let's go a little bit weiter. Let's go just a little bit weiter, because I want to give you the Yerushalmi, but let me just give you at least the Bavli today. Batala Tamid, the Tamid offerings was stopped on the 17th of Tammuz. And I will say again, what's missing from this Gemara? What's missing? Is this first temple? Is this second temple? So again, we'll see the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi discusses greater in depth. Here, we'll just say, Batla Tamid Gemara. Now, we'll say, we don't have psukim to support this assertion, but rather, this is just simply our tradition. Hufka Ir, the walls of the city were breached on the 17th. Hufka Ir, so the Gemara says, Hufka Ir, B'yadzayin Hava, was the walls of the city really breached on the 17th of Tammuz? Vaksiv, but we see in the Pasuk. And again, over here now, the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, V'aksib b'chodesh harvi b'tishla chodesh v'aychazek harav b'ir. Pasuk says that it was in the fourth month, which is Chodesh Av, on the 9th of the month. So famine took hold in the city. V'aksib b'asrei v'ati b'ka'ir. And then it says the walls of the city were breached, which seems to indicate what Rabbah said. When was the city breached? On the 9th of Tammuz. Excuse me, I meant Tammuz, not Av. On the 9th of Tammuz, not on the 17th of Tammuz. So which one is it? Amurava lokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan barushon and kan bishniyah. Two different dates for two different temples. Disanya, because we learned, barushona hufka ir betisha betamos, in the first temple era, the walls of the city were breached on the 9th of Tammuz, which Rabbi Yosef, remember, is the pasuk from Yirmiyah. And Bishniyah, however, in the second temple, Bishiva Asarbo, the walls of the city were breached on the 17th of Tammuz. And Rabbi Yosef, obviously, once we commemorate the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, we don't really commemorate the dates of the first Beis HaMikdash anymore. So you might tie that, well, let's fast on the 9th and on the 17th. Besides that, that's not going to be a very popular suggestion, right? The idea also is that, remember, pretty much we focus now on the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, because that is one that is closer to us historically. So therefore, the Maisa, two different dates, 9th of Tammuz, first walls of the first temple were breached, 17th of Tammuz, walls of the second temple breached. We'll stop over here. We'll pick up here Amir Hashem tomorrow.